Phil Mackey, Judd Zolgad.
So behind that peaceful countenance,
evil lurks.
They're up to no good.
Not only they're peaceful, Patrick, but they're really, really stupid.
Mackey and Judd on 1500 ESPN.
Keenum in trouble. Here comes Quinn. Missed. But he gets help from the teammates. It's thrown. It's completed. How in the world did that work? But it did to Thielen, who's got a first down.
You know, it's going to be hard to yank him out of there right now. So, you know, he's playing good, and, you know, I still have really high hopes for Teddy, and, you know, a lot of things happen throughout the course of this season, so we'll just see how it goes.
Vikings 8-2. It's the superstar Mike Morris, fresh off another great vent line yesterday. Thanks to all your calls and your thoughts and your opinions on demand at 1500ESPN.com. Do you want to hear some audio of Judd Zolgad verbally attacking the head coach in the press conference after the game yesterday?
He's really selling this.
Wow, let's hear it.
You want to hear it? So everything is going great. This is an 8-2 team. Case Keenum's playing the best football of his life.
Yeah, what'd you say?
And here comes Judd trying to create controversy in the locker room. Okay, listen to this.
Are there times where Case does throw the pass like he did, and you go, oh boy, is that going to work? And then it seems to work.
Well, I don't really say, is that going to work? But
Well, you launched it down, you know, you set yourself for a second, that could be a pick. So.
Yeah, I'm thinking a lot of things at that point. But he's got a horseshoe right now.
He doesn't.
I mean, did I attack him?
But Zimmer refuses to say, I love Case Keenum and he's my guy going forward.
Yeah. True story.
Refuses to say it.
True story. Yeah. I'm guilty of, I went from that presser right to Kai Forbath's post-game little session, his locker, to find out what went wrong.
You're just an ambulance chaser.
Well, I just said to him, I said, Kai, is this a situation where there was the same problem on both kicks you missed, or was it a different problem? And Forbath said, well, clearly since I missed one from the, one hit the left, upright, and one went wide right, I think it was, it's a different problem. But I was curious. I never see every little thing that transpires, as you know, Mike Morris, in a football game could mean something down the road.
Professional journalist.
And I want to see greatness here. And you can't have greatness.
I would have asked him the same question. I would have just said, look, you know, what is it in your head again that you can't make kicks?
He simply said, bad snaps.
Of course he did. Because it
terrible
always
snaps.
Trickles
the laces
down.
Were in.
It always,
I kid.
You know what, by the way, the winning field goal in the overtime with the Saints versus the Redskins, the snap that on the game winner was laces straight back, and the holder didn't turn him.
Really?
And he hit it perfect. Anyway.
How far was the kick from?
I don't know how long that was, but the winning kick was absolutely straight laces back.
So is that like, does the holder just get nervous in that spot? Like, let's just get it down.
No, let's give him something to kick. Watch.
It was 28 yards.
28.
You're right. It was straight
I'm talking about straight back laces. And when a kicker sees that, I'm telling you what, they freak out. Knuckleball.
He had no problem with it right there.
He drilled it. Fine nice. Was like that. Revez was like, put it down. Jeez, let's kick it. If you have to put it down on its side, Fouad used to say, I'll kick it. I can lift it up out of here. If it's a short field,
just lay it down on its side.
Lay it down inside. Don't Charlie Brown me. Just put it down.
Just put it on. Put it right in your face mask, and I'll kick your head, and your head will tumble with the ball over the crossbar.
Exactly. Forbath, by the way. What he meant to tell you was, and it was a good question, was he overcompensated for the correction?
Because of the
kick that went wide, however, it was 48 yards.
Yeah.
He overcompensated on a shorter kick, and that's why it went too far left.
Yeah.
Way too far, and then it clanked off.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what he meant to say.
All
right. The answer was, you're right. There was a big difference in the way I hit the first one, the second one. I tried to overdo the left, right to left.
Okay.
Yeah.
There was an answer. I was mining for answers yesterday.
Of course,
It was a good question.
You know, you're just trying to create schisms in the locker room.
Thanks. Thanks,
what
Adam Schefter.
What do you have against Coach Zimmer, anyway?
I like Coach Zimmer.
Okay.
I like Coach Zimmer a lot, and I give him a lot of credit because I think a lot of things that we dumped on him for last year, he has corrected this year, and
this
I really
team,
believe that.
We were just talking about this star last hour, that the majority of the history of the Vikings has been defined by letdowns, right?
Yeah,
the 70s defenses, and then the 98, and the 2009, and we can go back in time and all these teams. This team's ability to rise above things or to correct things. Okay, franchise quarterback goes down, go find another one. That guy goes down, go find another one. Offensive line is horrible last season. Spend the offseason fixing it. Get it right. New offensive coordinator. They've just been able to, they've been able to identify talent. They've been able to rise above circumstances that maybe have shipwrecked previous incarnations of Vikings teams. There's a different character about this team, at least to this point, than you're used to as a Vikings fan.
You said something very important, I think, is that, and with all the teams, the good teams that we've had here before in the past, whether it's the Bud Grant era or Jerry Burns or Dennis Green, certainly, is that they were all three of those coaches and the administration. We also have a Jim Finks I can add to that list. You know, he's in the Hall of Fame, by the way. But they all were really great evaluators of talent, of assessing good talent. They would at least pool the right kind of talent. Now, let's see what we can do with them, right? But I think we do have good talent here. I think we have executives, GMs, finance, cap gurus, Rob Brzezinski, and people that know how to bring the right people in here and get them signed and get them sealed for a window of opportunity.
Yeah. Well,
And I think that's a lot of the reason. And then Zimmer, good luck. Here they are.
So they built their defense, a lot of first and second round draft picks, blue chip talent, right? Xavier Rhodes, first round pick, Harrison Smith, Anthony Barr was a top 10 pick. When you look at the offense, though, and this has been a top half of the league offense, this has been the defense is the main reason why they're winning games. But the offense has held its own. It ain't like they're scratching for 9, 12 points every week. They're scoring points. They're moving the ball. I'm going to give you a list of the contributors right now and where they were drafted. It's amazing. Case Keenum, undrafted.
Amazing.
Adam Thielen, undrafted. Stephon Diggs, fifth round pick. Pat Elflein, your starting center, probably your franchise center for the foreseeable future, third round pick. Jerick McKinnon was a third round pick. The rest of your offensive line right now, Nick Easton was undrafted. He's your starting left guard. Jeremiah Searles and Rashad Hill, two of your main, they're now playing right tackle. They're your main backups. Those are both undrafted guys. And then three guys you signed in free agency, so you don't get credit for their draft status. But
correct.
Joe Berger was a sixth rounder. Mike Remmers was undrafted. And Latavius Murray was a sixth rounder. So we're not talking about a bunch of first and second rounders on offense. This is a bunch of guys who were overlooked.
It's incredible. When you can find talent, when you can assess talent, or maybe secondhand find something on the waive wire or a Riley Reiff or someone that needs to be retreaded or someone who needs to have their confidence tested one more time, see if they're still there or not. I mean, they've done that. And you know what? The good teams are like that. The great teams are like that. On our team, and you know, back in like say 98, it was Jeff Christie. I mean, he was a second round draft choice out of Pitt, but he was a second rounder to the Cardinals, and they cut him in camp. They cut him in training camp, second rounder, and you know, they picked him up. They brought him in here, and the rest is history. He was a great player, really great player. But we had several of those. Johnny Randall, undrafted. He was a free agent,
Texas A&I.
Right. Right. We had a lot of guys like that. And people that Coach Green really believed in. And Jerry Ball got a second and third chance here. He had a lot of great football left in him too, by the way. I think he got out early, but Coach Green believed in the guy, and he was everything. The first thing that Denny did his second year here, so he got here in 92. 93, he let go of Keith Millard, Wade Wilson, Joey Browner, and somebody else, Herschel, I think.
Yeah, I think he went to Philadelphia at that point.
I think so.
Yep, I think you're right.
I mean, we're all like, what's he doing? And you know what? I think Chris Dolman, too. They ended up bringing him back, but I think those four or five guys he let go of, and we went, what did we do the second time around? No, we went 11-5, I think, the first year with Denny.
Because you played Washington in the first round and got eliminated at the Metrodome. I remember that.
All field goals.
Oh, I did not remember that. That's very good of you.
Yeah. I think he had five. Chip Lowmiller had five field goals.
Yeah,
15, right. 15, nothing or something like that. Oh, anyway, but that's I think that's how the great teams are built, are on teams who have great talent assessment. They pool great talent, and it's up to that coach and that staff. And now we have the staff more realigned than when Zimmer got here. I mean, Norv Turner no longer here. Pat Shurmur, he's in. Spagnuolo's here. Jeff
Sperano,
Sperano. I'm sorry, I always say
Spags
that.
Spags is still on the verge of getting fired as a coordinator in New York, but they won yesterday. So,
but Jeff Davidson gone, and him in. So it's I mean that made a big difference, a huge difference. Who would have thought they would have taken a bust like Alex Boone, T.J. Clemens, Willie Beavers.
Yeah.
I think he's, isn't he back?
I think they sent him back
to practice.
They
signed him like a week ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be the future. And they here we find all these other guys. But that's how teams normally end up, you know, being assembled. I mean, Thielen is the greatest example. That was our John Randall.
He's second in the NFL in receiving yards right now. It's Antonio Brown and Adam Thielen, number one and number two in receiving yards right now.
He catches everything. The incredible thing is, if you go to a game and watch him, he never stops going. He runs.
He doesn't play when he wants to. He just wants to play all the time.
But the incredible thing about him is he will run his route out, and then he'll peel off, and
then he'll commit a penalty somewhere.
He will. No, which happened
yesterday.
He did. But what he will do, which is fun to watch, is if a play starts to break down, he goes from his route to recess football. He will continue to run and inevitably get open. And here's the impressive thing. Keenum will sort of just throw the ball towards him. I would say 90% of the time, he'll catch it. That's what he makes it. If you watch him play, he makes it look easy.
He does.
Like, you will say to yourself, why can't the rest of them do that exactly?
The good ones always do.
Yes, but he makes it. But if you're at a game, watch when a play breaks down. Watch what he does. He never, ever stops.
You're right. I mean, the really good ones, I remember when Jack Burns first got here, the coordinator that we picked up with Danny. He was from Washington with the Redskins, fresh off a Super Bowl win, I think. But he used to say that great teams, great football teams, the ones that end up in the Super Bowl, great offenses in particular, were great blocking teams. Even the receivers, great blockers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Thielen does. He stays alive. He keeps his route alive, or he ends up helping someone down the field. I mean, he probably ought to change the color of his gloves. Because when you hold
you
people
like
and you start holding people and you start
you
pulling
like
at people.
It's more obvious.
Well, it's pretty obvious that he's holding, though, because it's like sending up a warning flare on each hand. But, you're right. He stays alive. He's a hustler.
You should wear gloves.
He's got a motor.
Wear gloves the color of the opponent's jersey every
week. That's what the offensive lineman used to do.
You'll never get called for holding.
The O-lineman used to match gloves with jerseys.
Oh, the Vikings are playing the Bengals. They all have the offensive linemen all have orange and they have tiger stripe gloves. It's going
funny how that is.
I love that idea. That's
so
good.
True. I mean, you nailed it too. I mean, they used to really do it. Every trick in the book. Silicone. They would spray that on defensive lineman jerseys so the offensive lineman couldn't grab them. They get the jerseys so tailored down tight that defensive lineman can't grab them and pull them forward. All the tricks.
Yeah.
All the tricks.
Let's come back and talk more about Case Keenum and some of Mike Zimmer's comments that weren't 100% endorsing of Keenum even after yesterday's game. We'll play some of those, get Mike Morris's reaction. It's the Superstar with Mackey and Judd, and we can take more of your phone calls, too. We can open up the vent lines. If you want to chime in, 651-646-8255, 877-615-1500, Mackey and Judd.
And Judd Show rolls on.
That's right, sports fans.
This is 1500 ESPN.
He'll run it this time. Off the middle. Touchdown. Fake. Keenum in trouble. Here comes Quinn. Missed. But he gets help from the teammates. He's thrown. Oh, it's completed. How in the world did that work? But it did to Thielen, who's got a first down. Showing blitz. Rams bring it. Keenum gets rid of it. Thielen makes the move. And Thielen! Off to the races! Touchdown!
I'm not sure if you guys heard, but the Vikings won yesterday. Yep. They won the game. They won a football game yesterday. They have 8 wins and 2 losses now,
Mike,
which is a very good record in the National Football League, Superstar.
If you win 8 out of 10... Pretty good team. 10 games, right?
Yeah.
You win 8 of them? Mm-hmm. Hellfire. Now, it's the way they're winning games, too, and it's on the road and it's home, and you're beating teams pretty handily that have got power and strengths that you have, but you find ways to do it a lot better, more efficient. I mean, that Ram offense is dynamic. We know about all the talent that is on that side of the ball, and we certainly know what's on the defensive side of the ball. We kind of think we have both of those things, too, but we handled them pretty good. It was at our house, I know, but we took it to them pretty good.
Jared Goff looked lost to me.
A little bit.
Second half especially.
Yeah, it wasn't going his way.
They flustered him in a big way.
Yeah, they were definitely pressuring him, and that throws people off. That really throws. And you knew Zimmer was going to do something to disrupt Goff and that whole passing scheme of things, and it worked. Gurley looked really good in the beginning of that game.
Mm-hmm.
The scripted plays, they took the first drive and went straight down the field, and it was in the end zone. And you're like, oh, man, this could be a shootout.
Yeah, it felt like a kind of a reality check. Oh, boy, this is a real team. Okay. And then as it turns out,
that was it.
They made a couple tweaks, and the Rams did nothing for the next 2.5 hours. Here was Mike Zimmer on Case Keenum after the game, and then a question for you, Star.
You know, it's going to be hard to yank him out of there right now. So, you know, he's playing good, and, you know, I still have really high hopes for Teddy, and, you know, a lot of things happen throughout the course of this season, so we'll just see how it goes.
Are there times where Case does throw the pass like he did, and you go, oh, boy, is that going to work? And then it seems to
well,
work.
Well, I don't really say, is that going to work, but
well, you launched it down, you know, you set yourself for a second, that could be a pick, so.
Yeah, I'm thinking a lot of things at that point. But he's got a horseshoe right now.
Why? What's your best guess as to why Mike Zimmer... I have my theory, you know, Judd has his. What's your best guess as to why Mike Zimmer refuses to just say, you know what, Case Keenum is the starting quarterback of this football team, and it is no longer week to week. He's just the starting quarterback of this team.
My thought would be that he likes Teddy a lot. Number one, he likes and respects Teddy Bridgewater and what the kid stands for and what kind of person he is and what he's been through. And that he's wanted to play him, and I'm sure he thought that Teddy was going to be his future, you know, with this team, coaching this team, and for many years having that kind of quarterback around to bring along. But it's not there, and it was a devastating injury. We'll see how it goes. We still don't know how that's going to go, but I'm sure that he has a certain degree of loyalty and a lot of conversations with Teddy now that this has happened to him. I'm sure they've had talks over and over again about what they're going to try and do with him. And Case is doing a good job for him, but he doesn't want to say something that would be like reflective of what's going to happen with Teddy in the future, or he'd rather just stay neutral. I can tell he's trying to stay neutral, and he's trying to stay even keel for both guys, and that Keenum deserves now finally some credit. He's doing a good job, or he's playing good now. That's fine, but he doesn't really give him credit for having the prowess and the poise. He says he's got a horseshoe, which means suggests luck.
Yeah.
Or he's just throwing stuff that's being completed for whatever reason, which I don't agree with. I really don't. I think he's throwing the ball to the right people at the right time, and they're catchable balls to me. I don't see anyone having to dive to make any circus catches. He's throwing in stride.
Case is playing well, and I think you can go down a list of why in his mind Mike wants to make the move to Teddy. My number one now is this, though, Mike Morris. My number one is yes, there's reasons to play him because you think there's more upside there, potentially. There's reasons to try and play him because you'd like to know for 2018 if he's the direction that you should continue to go. But the one I hit on after yesterday and seeing that press conference is this. I think in his mind, he feels that if he plays him, he knows exactly what Teddy's going to do at all times. And Mike's existence as a football coach is built around defense. It's built around, don't screw up my defense. Don't put them in bad situations. Don't give up points because you threw a bad pass. And in the last 2 weeks now, he has called Case Keenum excitable 2 or 3 times. And then he made the horseshoe comment yesterday. And all of that to me screams of, I don't know what to expect from him at all times. And I think this might be based in luck. And if that luck ends on January the 13th or 14th, I'm in big trouble. So I really think that the main reason why in his heart of hearts he wants to go to Ted is he feels that Bridgewater, he knows exactly what Bridgewater will and won't do. And he's still not sure with Case. And that might be a reason to do it. It might not be. But I think that's what's going through his mind.
The complicated thing is he clearly thinks Bridgewater is better than Case Keenum when both are playing and operating at full strength. The problem is you don't know if and when Bridgewater will ever operate at full strength. Let's say his ceiling takes 10 games of revving up to get to because he hasn't played in 2 years. Well, you don't have 10 games left.
No, you don't.
You got 6.
You don't. You're
so
right.
The longer... Well, I agree that Teddy Bridgewater does have the higher ceiling, is more accurate, intermediate. Like he's pretty surgical in that intermediate range. And if given the set of weapons and the offensive line that Case has this year, Teddy didn't have that 2 years ago. If he's at full strength and he gets all these weapons and he gets Adam Thielen, which he didn't have 2 years ago, really, I think Teddy Bridgewater is clearly the better quarterback. But it might take longer than put him in against Detroit and hope that he ramps up before the end of the regular season. Like, you might have to go back and preseason this thing, and putting him in now, I get why you would do it, and I would not criticize Mike Zimmer for doing it. But you're getting so close to the end of the year, doesn't give you a lot of time for Bridgewater to reach that ceiling. That's why it's complicated.
Really complicated. I agree with everything you said. I think that Teddy Bridgewater behind this offensive line would be exciting. It'd be a pretty fun show. He was able to do some things that I thought were pretty special with the line he had before, which was not good. Not a good situation for a quarterback to exist behind.
Yeah.
But I think that this year, behind this offensive line, I would love to see him play. I really would. I think because he is absolutely a dynamic, accurate thrower. I'm not worried about any length of the field, any pass. He can throw long, intermediate, short. I think that probably the most impressive part, maybe a couple things that are real impressive about Bridgewater are his football IQ that I saw when Gruden interviewed him on his show.
Yeah,
I mean, it was absolutely impressive. And when Gruden says, "I'll tell you what, you're my guy. You're one of my guys." I mean, there's nothing I can put up here that you don't get. And Gruden does not say that often to any of those guys. I saw him interview Derek Carr and, you know, Winston and all those guys. And Bridgewater was easily the most impressive in terms of what he knew about the game and how to get in and out of certain plays. And he had Gruden just like, wow, his jaw was dropping. Okay, so second thing, he's tough. He is absolutely, he's a tough a kid. He'll get up and go back to the huddle mad. I like that so much. The Florida game, the bowl game.
Yeah.
He has his head almost decapitated from his body. His helmet comes off. Before he can go over and pick up his helmet to put it back on, there's an egg on it on his forehead that's come up like this big all the way across. You've seen it in UFC.
Yeah.
He puts his helmet back on, goes in the huddle, and throws a 70-yard touchdown. He's tough. He's really super tough. He's a fragile guy. He always looked very slight and maybe could put on a few pounds. And I think he's done that. I think they've done that with him. So I'm just hoping it holds up. I'm hoping he can regain himself and his confidence to play. And he does get that opportunity someday. Let's just make sure it's the right time, because we can't afford to squander a game while he's trying to get back on track.
Yeah.
Game now could cost us the division the way the Lions are chasing us.
Do you fear, Michael, if Case continues to play, do you, having seen this game for a long time, do you fear that he's going to make a crucial mistake at a time that's going to kill you? Because if your answer is no to that, then you might not make that change. You might not, if Zimmer's answer was no, you wouldn't make the change.
True.
I mean, clearly he feels he sees enough per game, one or two passes, to say, oh my gosh, I just can't have this.
Yeah, it's a...
How do you feel?
I mean, there's Bridgewater on the bench right there, dressed on the sidelines. He had a chance after a couple interceptions a couple weeks ago against the Redskins. I guess you could have thrown him in there after the second pick. He didn't do that, and guess what happened? Keenum answers the bell, pulls himself up by the bootstraps, settles down and continues to play and pass the football. And they went on and won that game fairly handily. I mean, it was good that Case Keenum proved that part of himself, because if they had lost that, that puts everything in a different, it changes everything as we know it now. I mean, it really does. You lose that game in Washington, you lose a lot of things. You know, the ability to play well on the road against a good team, all those things, you can question all that if he doesn't come out of that game with a win, and he did. So I'm impressed.
Let's run a couple real quick here. 651-646-8255, 877-615-1590. Hey, Howard.
Good morning, gentlemen. This defense is similar to the Ravens defense, who won a Super Bowl with a below-average quarterback. I would tell you the only team that we have to be afraid about is the Patriots in the Super Bowl. The Eagles, as well as the Eagles have played, the record of teams that they played are like 40-60, and I feel very comfortable in telling you that Wentz can't roll left, and everyone's letting him roll right all the time. Zimmer's smart enough to get him off his key, and there's no other team that really is better than us right now.
You know, where I will agree on the Eagles front, Carson Wentz is a second-year quarterback still. There's a lot of similarities there in that the Rams have this defense and these weapons and this offensive line, but it's still like a pretty inexperienced quarterback that Mike Zimmer exposed. And so I'm fairly confident Mike Zimmer would also expose Carson Wentz in a playoff game. Does that mean they're going to for sure beat the Eagles? Because Carson Wentz got exposed last year and the Eagles beat the Vikings in that game despite that. So You're gonna have to put some points up on that Eagles team as well.
He played against us last year after he came out of the bye week,
and he wasn't good. But the Eagles won the game.
Yeah, they sure did. And Mike had his chance to dismantle him there. I don't know. I mean, we didn't play very well either coming out of the bye week. I mean, our defense is different this year than it was last year. Certainly, it is not, however, the Raven 2000 defense. It's not. It's a really good defense though. This year, in terms of the NFL today, and where we stack up now in terms of defenses in this league, top three easy. I don't know where you want to put them, top one through three somewhere. But the Raven 2000 defense is top one or two all time.
Yeah,
Bears 85 Bears.
That was Ravens really good, but defense. That was schematic. I'll say this: okay. The Bears is the best, I think, in my opinion, anyway. But it was very gimmicky. It was the 46 defense. It was the Buddy Ryan, yeah. The Fensick defense, right?
Yep.
I'm telling you, that was just having so much personnel that you could do anything you wanted, and Buddy Ryan knew.
Baltimore was talent in your mind?
Pardon me?
Baltimore was talent in your mind?
You know what? They were a straight vanilla defense. They weren't a 46.
Uh-huh.
They come and get you with a straight 3-4 defense and just beat your pants off and say, here we are, come and get us. We'll knock you right through to next year. You know, they were so physical. They were more physical than the Bears.
Yeah, Baltimore. So that 2000 Ravens defense, they pitched four shutouts. They had three or four other games in which they allowed single digit points. Only two teams scored more than 14 points on them that whole season, the regular season.
That's so ridiculous.
That's a different level,
That's a straight defense. There were no frills in that. I mean, that's just lining up and playing chalkboard defense, too. I mean, that's arguably better than the 85 Bears. But, I mean, it'd be hard to actually, you know, weigh that in. It's hard to compare year to year.
Yeah, different eras.
It's just a whole different thing. It's a whole different thing.
Sean, you're on the show. Superstar, Mackie Judd.
Oh, hi. How's it going?
What's going on, man?
My comment is about Anthony Barr and him hitting Jared Goff yesterday. Is Anthony Barr going to get a reputation, do you think, for being dirty, you know, after the Rodgers hit? And then I thought the hit to Rodgers was legal. The hit yesterday was legal. They threw the flag on that one, but not the Rodgers. Is he going to get a reputation, do you think?
He's got one.
I think he got the penalty because of the reputation, right?
He's got one right now. They are going to... Now, if he drives, I'm telling you, if Anthony Barr drives any quarterback into the ground after he has released a ball for the remainder of this season, it will be a 15-yard penalty, no question.
Probably a fine as well. Probably finding a way out of the ball game sooner than the fourth quarter. I mean, there's two of them on him. I think the one against Aaron Rodgers was a bad hit. I thought it was late. He could have taken everything off of it. You saw the one with Donaldson yesterday. Aaron Donald. He let off that hit. He still got called for it.
How did he get called for that?
I don't know. I really don't know. But he did. And I'm just saying, you can lay off hits. He knew that ball was out of Aaron Rodgers' hands. And I love Anthony Barr. I think he's a great athlete. I think he's a great player. And I'd hate to see him out of the lineup for any reason, including suspensions. But he hit Rodgers late. And he hit Goff late, and he drove his helmet right in from his chin up through his face mask, and then stuck him, followed through with it. Yeah, flag both times. Flagrant, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, you can go in. Like, there's other ways to hit a quarterback.
Absolutely.
So you can go in there.
Absolutely.
Actually, I think Eric Kendricks hit Goff perfectly, like right in the ribs.
That's how you hit.
It's a small window now with the quarterback. Can't hit his legs. You can't hit his, you know, his chin, so it's tough. Yeah, but
Barr's got to settle down.
Dave, what kind of questions do you have for us when we come back here?
Really good football-y questions, and one about a guy who has left this earth.
That's awfully cryptic.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, all right. Mackie and Judd, Superstar.
Phil Mackie, Judd Zolgad.
Seems like the basis for a sitcom.
Mackie and Judd.
Why not?
On 1500 ESPN. Now on Mackie and Judd.
Do you believe in past lives? Did we ever really land on the moon?
Questions.
What are the 6 degrees that separate you and Kevin Bacon?
Of significant importance.
Mackie and Judd. All kinds of Viking stuff on 1500ESPN.com from yesterday. Ventline on demand, Purple Podcast on demand, all kinds of written content. So go check it out, 1500ESPN.com. Twins Anonymous and Ed, we see you guys on hold. We should have time before the end of the show to get to you guys. But first, some questions from Dave Harrigan. Superstar Mike Morris hanging out.
Let's start with the Vikings defense. If I asked you to name the guys that have had the biggest impact, you'd throw out the favorites, Harrison Smith, Anthony Barr, Linval Joseph, et cetera, et cetera. But let's talk about these guys. Mackenzie Alexander, guys like Tom Johnson, Stephen Weatherly, Anthony Harris yesterday making a big play. Guys like that, the second tier boys that have made a massive impact. Who deserves the credit more? The GM for finding the diamond in the rough or the coaches for making them players?
Star?
I think it's hand in hand for sure. I mean, they can't deal with them on the field unless you get them signed and someone has to believe in them. You have to pull them off the war board and find them through all the layers and layers and layers of people that are out there wanting to play pro football. I mean, there are people they can go to that are probably seven deep at every position. But to find a guy like Tom Johnson, who I'm a big fan of, Harris. I don't even know his first name, to be honest.
Anthony Harris.
I mean, good Lord. He's way more than I ever thought he was. He can play.
It was a nice strip yesterday at the one.
He's a good player. He comes up with a big play from time to time on special teams. Curse also comes up with a lot of big plays. I notice him around the ball all the time. He's a heat-seeking missile on special teams. I think I would give it to Tom Johnson would be a good selection. He's a good man off the bench now. He can get to the quarterback. Big, big, strong guy. Pretty good against the run, too.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
I would say if I had to pick either GM or, you know, personnel people or coaching for why these players are popping up, I mean, both deserve credit, so Star is right. But I would say coaching doesn't lie in this case. I mean, everything that Mike Zimmer has touched as a coach has turned into one of the best defenses in the NFL, from Cowboys to Bengals to now Vikings. And it ain't like he's just getting lucky with personnel on a year-by-year basis. So he is the common denominator across multiple different teams and rosters for raising up the water level. So I'm going to say Mike Zimmer and coaching staff.
Zimmer is the guy, at least when it comes to players on the defensive side, who goes to Spielman and says, I like this guy. He fits. So Spielman deserves a lot of credit for the changes that they made on offense and getting things right there. But if you're looking for the reason why this defense is so deep and the personnel works so well, it's because the coach is very good at identifying guys who are going to work in his system. So in that case, it's Zimmer.
Let's go quarterbacks, because we can't stop talking quarterbacks. Phil, you're still probably the most vocal. You're on Team Teddy still. Judd, you're not completely on Team Case Keenum. And I believe Star, he's all in. He's got Case Keenum fever. So for those guys that aren't on Team Keenum, what will it take? Is there anything that can happen between now and Week 7 that will get you fully on board Team Keenum, or is it still Team Teddy no matter what?
In my case, there's not. In my case, there's not, because there is the fear of the fact that we will continue to see two or three plays per game that are going to lead you down the path of you're going to get to a playoff game and he's going to make a crucial mistake. And you can't, if you call a quarterback excitable, you can't siphon that out of him. You can't make him not that. You can't take a quarterback and say, you can't do this. He's going to say, okay, and then guess what? When something goes wrong, he's going to make a pass. And even if 8 times out of 10 it results in an incompletion or a miracle catch, 2 times it won't. So, no, there's nothing that's going to convince me that Keenum is going to change his stripes enough where the Vikings are ever going to be or should be completely comfortable.
If I'm being honest, and I not to make it sound like there's a lot of questions about Teddy too. I'm just trying to explain the logic behind why he's even in the conversation. On the case front, I'm going to need probably multiple years, like 2 years of really good performance to wipe away the 5 years of bad backup performances. And you know, so to answer your question through that prism, nothing's going to happen this year that's going to make me think, oh yeah, like Case Keenum has reached another level as a franchise quarterback in the NFL. Like, I'm going to need to see it probably for all of next year before I think, yep, Keenum has for sure gotten to the next level. You know, right now, he's tied, for instance, with Josh McCown and just above, thanks to a Twitter follower, Tyrod Taylor in passer rating. So it ain't like, you know, it ain't like he's Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. So there's just going to be natural questions. And the defense is so good that you can get by with question marks at the quarterback position and still win a bunch of games and maybe go to the Super Bowl. So, I'm you can win games with Case Keenum. They're doing it. They're 8-2 basically with Case Keenum playing the entire season except for week one. So you can win games. Can you beat the Seahawks and then the Eagles on the road and then Tom Brady in the Super Bowl with Case Keenum? I don't think you can.
Does Case Keenum not make the mistake because your defense is the one that's going to win you those games? Your defense is going to be the thing, Mike, that you rely upon to win you those games. The question becomes, you can't have the quarterback lose you the game. Can Case Keenum avoid being that guy?
I think he's proving that he can. He's really cut down on his mistakes. He used to make far more than he did like yesterday or the week before against the Redskins. That was borderline. But when you have an it factor, when you have that moxie in the huddle that I think he has with his teammates, it's hard to explain what it is. It is not really a great quarterback rating, as Phil mentioned. It is just making plays when you have to. You make plays. You pick up on third down conversions when you have to. You make a play happen before the half. You're coming away with a touchdown more often than a field goal when you get to the red zone. You make something big happen at the end of a game. But that's where he's been kind of a gamer. That's hard to define. But I think that he's a player. He wants to do well for his teammates, and he's told them that. I think they had him mic'd at one point, and he said, look, you're the best. Did you say that yesterday on Ventline?
Somebody else, yeah. I mean, I remember hearing it, too. I can't remember who said it. But he also was mic'd yesterday going into the locker room. I saw this on one of the Vikings accounts. That he's just going up to everyone, just going up to Pat Shurmur, going up to offensive linemen, praising. He does have a ton of great leadership qualities to him.
He's a
absolutely
humble guy that I've been explained to about several times. Brian Murphy, who I do the Friday afternoon fun fest with, mm-hmm. And he said that he's interviewed him and his father and some other people for articles that he's done. But he said he's very, very, very serious minded. He's grounded, very religious. And I guess the guy's, he's a leader. I think he's got some leadership ability, too. Mm-hmm. I think that'll help. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to make a mistake or two, it doesn't hurt to be a leader that can say, I'll fix this, you know, and just take ownership in the mistake.
Mm-hmm. People say I'm no good.
Yes.
No Name Maddox is what you are.
The musical stylings of Charles Manson. Dead yesterday at the age of 83. Organizer of murders, leader of the Manson family, star, you are a serial killer savant. And even though he didn't do the killing himself, I imagine this has to touch you in some way. Explain to me your feelings on the death of Charles Manson.
I would just say, first and foremost, that Charlie will never surf. He will never go surfing. That was something he always wanted to do after he was incarcerated. 30 years of probation didn't work out so well for No Name Maddox. He was named No Name Maddox because his mother didn't know who his father was. So she nicknamed him No Name Maddox. Her last name was Maddox. So now the name Manson, I think, will live on forever as the dark side of humanity. That name Manson sort of just, when you hear it, you just think, oh, no.
I
want to be named Manson.
I think he was misunderstood personally.
Oh, right. Of course. Well, that was a scary, scary 2 days back in 1969.
Yeah. My parents were there at the time. They lived in California? Los Angeles.
Wow.
Yeah. They lived in L.A., yeah.
In the highfalutin area.
Yeah.
Roman Polanski and Tate's, Sharon Tate.
Yeah, that was a scary one.
And what was her name? Folger.
And that was the one house, right? And
correct.
That's the one where they went to the wrong house.
Correct.
Because he wanted to kill people that didn't give him an opportunity in the music business. Sharon Tate and the family had moved in to rent that house and were there by happenstance and were all killed.
Correct. Well,
that's one side of the story. I mean,
oh, God, and you're
then,
sick.
And then the next night, if I'm not mistaken, he went to the La Bianca's, right?
La Bianca's.
That was the next evening.
That was the next one, right.
Woo.
Polanski was a film producer. Tate was his wife.
Polanski was in
Folger was an heiress to the Folger family, coffee family.
Yes.
It was brutal. Ugh. Helter skelter. Mm-mm-mm-mm.
Was there another question there, or was it just mostly?
No, the question was just, it was, yeah, simply an opportunity for Star to give some feelings. And I really just wanted to know whether he, you know, he appreciates serial killers, if he appreciates a guy who's just a manager of killers.
Yeah, I do. I guess there's something that can be said for manipulating people that way and having that sort of power over people. I wish I could do that.
That's really disturbing.
Actually, I got a group of people you can start with. Hey, it's Packer Ventline.
Oh, man. Oh, these guys need help.
Go, Pack, go!
You're on borrowed time with Aaron Rodgers. You got a few good years left in him. You need to start rebuilding and restarting. Heads got to roll. Coaches have to be fired. Players have to be kind of traded. You have to start getting new guys. You've already just got a sneak peek of what's going to happen as soon as Aaron Rodgers is going to leave. You already saw the future. If you want to even begin to change that, you got to start doing that this offseason. You actually got to start getting a team together, not just some role players, a whole team together.
Well,
go, Pack, go!
I'm guessing that must have been one of the shareholders of the Green Bay Packers.
That was an owner right there. Yeah, that was a furious owner.
There it is right there. I mean, yeah, he sounds a lot like No Name Maddox there.
Oh, wow.
The tone of his voice. I mean, do you think your chances are good when you have your first probation here or a parole hearing and they ask you, what do you think you might do if you were to be released from prison? And your answer is, I'd kill all the pigs and stack their bodies to the moon. Hmm. Do you like your chances at that point? Or do you think you'll probably go back to yourself?
That's
because
noble.
That's what Chuck said.
To self-report like that is quite noble, superstar.
Yep. Well, I said that. Mm-hmm. Oh, well. I shouldn't have said that. Mm-hmm. I'll be leaving here today directly straight to the detention center.
Mm-hmm. On that note, it's Phil Mackey here for Luther Brookdale Toyota.
Oh, hey!
694 in Brooklyn Boulevard. Yeah. If you're looking for a smooth ride, let me recommend the brand new 2018 Camry. All new exterior, upgrades on the interior, a driver-focused design. I had a chance to roam around the lot actually on Saturday and see some of these new Camrys. The multimedia touchscreen on the interior brings you even closer to your to apps on your phone. So we're talking about the Entune system, which allows you to make dinner reservations from the screen on the interior of your car. That's what kind of technology Toyota is offering in the 2018 Camry, which you can get into for just $199 a month on a 3-year lease. Find out more at LutherBrookdaleToyota.com or stop in and see my friends for 30-plus years on the corner of 694 and Brooklyn Boulevard. Mackie and Judd and Star.
Mackie and Judd are back.
Okay, let's not scare the children.
On 1500 ESPN.
Save the date. 1500 ESPN's 7th annual sports fantasy auction is happening Tuesday, December 12th. Listen all day from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. to purchase and bid on great experiences, with all proceeds benefiting Courage Kenny Rehabilitation Institute, presented in part by Able Chiropractic and TCL. Details and packages coming soon to 1500ESPN.com.
All right, Mackie and Judd, couple more minutes here. Let's take a call from our buddy Twins Anonymous. You got about a minute here, Twins Anonymous. Thanks for holding, man.
All right, Philip, you're starting to be a point of consternation here. You're a smart cat. You know that all this Vikings buildup is just leading to a more precipitous, painful, gut-wrenching crash back down to earth that long-time battle-scarred Viking fans are going to have to process, right?
Yeah, I think you're probably pretty accurate on that assessment, yeah. If history is any indication. Yeah.
All right, Morris, what about you? You got anything remotely amusing or knowledgeable to add, smart mouth?
No, I wouldn't say that. I would be accidentally amusing, if anything. I would say you're probably right, and that would be amusing because I think you're really wrong.
All right.
But I know, you know what, honestly, until they prove that they can actually go all the way and win one, you're right. Because second place, I don't care. If you go to a Super Bowl, we've done that four times and haven't won one.
How's it going to end?
What do they do? I don't know.
Twins, how does it end? What's the final chapter?
I'm not quite there yet, but yesterday...
What do you mean?
Have you ever had your ass cooled to the folding chair? Let me ask you if you've been there or not.
Morris, you are fixing to look like you ran a 40-yard dash in a 30-yard room. Knock it off.
Oh, God. Oh, you're funny, dude. Where'd he go?
Is that it? Did he hang up?
We lost him.
All right.
That's too bad.
I think he's gone, but that's a good one. 40-yard dash and a 30-yard room.
I love it.
But you can't say it's going to end in catastrophe and then not give me the ending. That's the key to this whole thing.
I think you chickened
out. I've told you how I think it's going to end, so now you got to tell me.
Well, there's only one way that we know how it ends. Everyone who has been born and has watched a Vikings game, I mean, there's only one way that it ends,
But is it with a pick?
Changes, right?
Field goal? I want the exact ending.
Oh, you mean the exact
ending. Yes, okay. I want the ending.
Well.
If you're going to rip my heart out, I want to know how it gets ripped out.
You want the whole 98 thing. It was the kick. You want the reason.
It'll be Kai Forbath, right? It'll be Kai Forbath. All right, we got to go.
All right,
Superstar's back with us. Actually, he's going to be one of the callers on Ventline this Thursday, which is going to be very fun. Hopefully, a couple Baileys deep.
Fun, yeah.